Okay, Corey.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, it is 4 o'clock and we're officially starting our meeting, starting with taking a look at the minutes from the last meeting and see if we can approve those.
I move that we approve the minutes from, sorry, Lonnie.
Lonnie?
Lonnie had his finger up.
Nope.
Yep,
Okay.
go ahead.
All right.
Oh, so I move to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
Second.
And all in favor? Yay. Any opposed? Okay. All right. So minutes are approved.
Great.
Then the second item on our list is looks like it's from Dorinda looking at marketing and promotions.
Yeah, we
So
don't have any
I
open
wanted
forums.
to,
Oh.
sorry, I just wanted to announce we do have two attendees.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
On the call, there were no requests public input.
Oh. Do I need to bring them into the meeting?
That's what I was curious about.
No,
We didn't have
they're attendees. As long as I started the webinar, they're good to go. They can see it now. So, yeah.
Okay.
Do they have the opportunity to participate as well, or is that only by request?
That's just by request. They're just watching the meeting right now. So, okay.
Should we introduce ourselves in that case?
Sure, we can do that. Yeah, go ahead, Corey.
Okay, I'm Corey Grimm, and I am the chair of this committee, and I'm a dance instructor, so I work through Parks and Rec as a ballroom dance instructor. Makes me a community partner. And up in the other corner there, Lonnie, you want to wave?
Hi, I'm Lonnie. I'm the recreation manager for Ashland Parks and Recreation. So I am a staff member as part of this committee. And I guess if we can pop partner around, I'll send it over to Libby.
Hello, everyone. I am also a staff participant, staff liaison. I'm the manager of North Mountain Park Nature Center, Libby Van Wy. Happy to be here.
Pick someone new, Libby.
And let's do Risa.
I would be Risa, and I don't know what my official title is. I'm just a community participant, with this committee. Commissioner Eldridge.
Hi, thanks, Risa. I'm Leslie Eldridge, Ashland Parks and Recreation Commissioner and SOU Prof. Love recreation. Love recreating.
Want to point on that, Rachel?
Rachel.
Hi everyone, I'm Rachel Dials, Deputy Director for Ashland Parks and Recreation and a staff member on this to help guide this committee. And let's see, who haven't we picked yet?
Dorinda.
Dorinda.
Okay, hi everyone. I am Dorinda Cottle. I'm the Executive Analyst for APRC. So I'm staff, but I am not part of this committee. I'm going to be presenting today on marketing and promotion.
Excellent. And last but not least,
Jim.
And I'm Jim Lewis, Ashland Parks and Recreation Commissioner.
right.
And I love recreation as well.
Do we have someone else joining in here?
Yes, so Val is calling in because she's on the road. So
okay.
Val Rogers is also here now.
Okay. Who's another committee member?
I'm here by phone.
All right.
Thanks, Val.
Thanks, Val.
Okay, so we're just
Hi,
introducing.
everyone.
Hello, and then Dorinda was going to talk to us a little bit about marketing.
Yeah, if I can just kick it off really quick, why Dorinda? Dorinda, do you have access to share your screen?
Let me start.
Okay. And I just wanted to introduce Dorinda, and I know that this committee, Dorinda's our administration analyst, and she also works with, she has other hats that she wears, but she also is in charge of our marketing and promotions for APRC. And I know some of you all have questions about marketing and promotions, and they've come up before. So I invited Dorinda to come and give us an overview of what we're doing in marketing and promotions and kind of what's happening now. And you all can ask questions throughout the presentation or after the presentation's over, however you want to do it. So I'll turn it over to Dorinda.
Okay, thank you, Rachel.
Dorinda, we can see your notes section.
You can, okay, hold on.
Yeah, we're looking at the wrong screen.
I'm going to ask that. Okay, what about now?
Still, there you go.
There you go.
Okay, great, all right. So my notes kind of moved over to another monitor, so I'm sorry if I'm not looking right at the camera, but okay. So thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here. And as I said earlier, this is an overview on marketing and promotions for APRC. So I would be remiss if I didn't start with mentioning our marketing team, which is made up of staff from all APRC divisions. And for several years now, we meet every 2 weeks and we typically have a full agenda. And if we don't have a full agenda, we share marketing related topics and we find out where we can support each other. Our agenda items include such things as promoting special events, managing our registration website, messaging around COVID, DEI and marketing, and of course the APRC Community Play Guide. And this amazing group of people all have different levels of talent and expertise, and we could not do all that we do without their support. The Community Play Guide is really our number one communication tool.
Dorinda, can I interrupt for 1 second? I'm sorry. Is everybody else noticing the cutoff? Is it the slide cutoff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dorinda, it's because our little faces are covering it up.
No, I don't think that's it. Dorinda, can you?
Oh, I see. I see, Rachel. I didn't even notice.
Does that help?
I have it at the top of my screen. I have view options, and so I can do fit to window, or I can do 50%, and that fixes it.
Oh, okay.
Or, no, actually, I'm still cut off on the sides. You're right.
Okay. I'm not sure how to fix it on my end.
Perhaps if you stopped share and then just tried to restart the share, maybe it would. Maybe it would clear up.
Okay.
Not sure, but they're nice slides. We want to see the whole
frame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that might work. There's your note.
Okay, hold on. Okay, can you see my notes now?
Yeah.
We're looking at the presenter view right now.
But we can see it all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good. That worked.
Okay, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get back to where I was here.
Thanks for pivoting, Dorinda. I just wanted to make sure that we could see that.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. So as I was saying, the Play Guide is really our number one communication tool. And we produce 3 guides each year, a winter spring guide, a summer guide, and a fall guide. And each of those spans a 4-month period. And we believe that folks hang on to their guides for the duration of each season, almost like a coffee table style book. And we see our customers typically registering at the last minute. I am so sorry. I had my dogs locked out and they have got into the house. I'm going to try to carry on here. So our impressions of each guide include direct mailing to all of our Ashland residents, emailing our customers, subscribers, and special user groups, and website postings and local news sources. And we'll talk a little bit more about impressions here in a little bit. So we started producing a rec guide in 2004. And in late 2017, we changed the name of the guide from the Recreation Guide to Community Play Guide, What to Do. And one of our goals at that time was to create a guide that had a community feel to it. And we wanted to find ways to connect to the community and stay connected with the community. We started making an effort to include other community happenings or opportunities. for example, featuring the youth summer programs offered at the Ashland Library, or including information about the Ashland Chamber of Commerce map, which APRC sponsors. And this map highlights our fabulous trail system. We continued selling display ads to local businesses, which we started around 2015. And we started considering forming community partnerships with local organizations and businesses. And in doing so, we could share other opportunities in our community guide, and we could extend our marketing reach by getting our brand out there without spending more money. So I want to expand a little bit more on our community partnerships, but first I want to point out that our marketing budget is relatively small. It's around $33,000 per year. And while we do make financial contributions to the Play Guide, for example, or to the Ashland Chamber of Commerce or Locals Guide, we do strive to form community partnerships where we can collaborate, connect, and expand our marketing reach. For the 21-22 Ashland Rotary Centennial Ice Rink season, we partnered with the Ashland Chamber of Commerce and Rogue World Music to bring the community holidays in Ashland. And together we promoted each of our special events during the holidays and encouraged people to shop, eat, and play locally. And the marketing value to APRC for this partnership was around $2,000, as we received additional promotion for the ice rink via local news sources, social media, partner websites, and e-news blasts. In addition, the Chamber sponsored our volunteer appreciation celebration that took place in January of 21. Lonnie can probably attest to how busy the ice rink was this past year. And while part of that was COVID related and people wanting to get back to some form of normalcy, we also think that it was in part to this collaborative partnership. I apologize for my dogs. Community partnerships now play a really big role in our play guides, and they help us fulfill that early mission of providing a play guide that has a community feel to it. And these partnerships allow us to promote other opportunities in and around the Ashland community and help us stay connected. And you can see our community partners in place as of today with our summer 2022 play guide that just came out last Friday. And we've been able to arrange partnerships with some of the big players in town. Examples of these partnerships include OSF, for example, who's a returning community partner. Beginning with the summer 2022 play guide, we were able to revitalize our partnership with OSF. Sadly, this partnership fizzled when COVID hit, and we were really pleased to be able to bring it back. So as part of this partnership, OSF will receive a half page ad and a 1/8 page ad in each of our play guides. And APRC receives a half page ad in every play bill. And they, for this season, they have 8 shows. And each of those shows will have its own playbill. They used to combine all the shows in one playbill, but now each show has its own playbill. So in addition to the half page ad in each of those playbills, we also have a web listing on the OSF website under Plan Your Visit and Things to Do. And it offers a click through to our website. And the value for this partnership is $1,890 per year. Another example is a new partnership with Ashland.news, and they will receive a full page and a quarter page ad in each of our play guides. And we will receive 2 ongoing ads on their website, a banner ad and a large rectangular ad with click-through links to our website. And this partnership is valued at $3,240 per year. Our community partners currently in place allow us to actually extend our marketing reach by 70% as we trade advertising dollars advertising dollar for dollar, excuse me. The summer guide partnerships are valued at just over $7,000. And if you take that out for a full year, keeping in mind that we produce three guides per year, the value is $21,000 per year, or a 70% extension to our marketing budget. I'd also like to share that in our summer 2022 play guide, we sold 11 display ads generating over $3,500. So I wanted to show you the steps for how a play guide is promoted, and keep in mind that this is how we would promote a special event or a special project. And we have a variety of sources that help us spread the word with little to no cost to APRC. We have local news sources, print, TV, radio, web, and this includes the City of Ashland website and the Ashland Chamber of Commerce website, all at no charge. We have local web calendars, which include the City of Ashland web calendar, all at no charge. And I also wanted to point out that Ashland.news is creating a new web calendar that will be exclusive. And as part of our new community partnership, we'll have access to this new event calendar. We also do an email campaign to promote each guide, with approximately 7,000 emails that go out to our customer base, our subscribers, and special user groups. We do pay about $100 per month for this service, and we use it for all of our promotions. For our current summer play guide, our email campaign launched last Friday, and the open rate, or the number of people who open their email to read the news release, so far it's at 45%. And the industry standard is 24 to 29%. Our click-through rate is at 5%, and the industry standard is 3 to 4%. We also promote on social media. We have Facebook and Instagram accounts for APRC that we post to regularly. We do push to the City of Ashland Twitter account occasionally, and typically we'll boost a post for the play guide at an expense of $30 to $50 on Facebook, and this will help increase the number of people that we can reach.
And an example of that on the Facebook ads, we just pushed a post recently because we are still recruiting for lifeguards and swim instructors for the Daniel Meyer Pool this summer. And so we felt like we needed to get the word out even more. And so we did boost that post to try to recruit some more staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to add to that, we were at the SOU job fair yesterday, and one of the students that came up to talk to us said they'd seen that ad out on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. So that was good to hear. So we play ads, and sometimes we'll do a display ad for the play guides. It really just depends on what else we have going on. We do regular display ads in the Jefferson Journal and in Locals Guide, and both of these organizations are community partners. And our most recent ads with them actually feature upcoming events for spring and summer. Events like the Rogue Valley Bike Swap, Rogue Valley Bird Day, the Nature Play Celebration, and the 4th of July Run. And so all of these sources, they help us get our impressions around 35,000 per guide. And impressions are a little bit different than reach in that the impression is actually the number of times that someone is exposed to our content. So they're likely to see the play guide information in multiple locations, which is actually a good thing. The reach would be the number of people who saw the info and took action. So, for example, they registered for a program, or they went to a park, or they hiked a trail, or they participated in one of our community events like the Ashland World Music Festival. And so that reach is, it's not as easy to quantify as the impressions. Registration for the Summer Play Guide opened last Monday. We have about 80 class offerings for the summer. And remember, this play guide is on a 4-month span, so it goes May through August. Our registration numbers are at about 115. But also keep in mind that folks do tend to register at the last minute, so we'll undoubtedly see those numbers increase. And then we should also point out that that class offering does include our senior services division. And some of the classes have multiple sessions. So I appreciate your time, and let me know if you have any questions for me and I can stop sharing.
Can I give you some feedback?
Please. Yeah.
So as an instructor and having been an instructor with Ashland Parks and Rec for 18 years, I think, close to 18 years, that physical play guide is a huge source of new classes. And, you know, especially that printed guide, I think you're exactly spot on. I've discussed this with my husband. That printed guide sits there on the counter or on a posted somewhere, and people pick it up and they look for things. I think it's a huge resource for people and really important. And I've noticed originally there were 4 play guides per year. And when it dropped down to 3, I noticed, okay, well, partway through that season, which was at that point like 6 months or something, partway through that season, my numbers started kind of dropping off, and then a new one would come out, numbers come up again. So it's hugely important. And then, you know, again, more evidence of that was the winter play guide, because we didn't know what was happening with the Grove, my classes were listed as sort of to be announced. And so I got like one person signed up in that whole season who wasn't someone who was already on my list. But this new play guide that just came out, within a day of it coming out, I got a whole bunch of new people signed up for class. So, you know, that physical play guide is just really valuable. And I think it's not only valuable as in reaching people who are going to take classes, but also someone like me, I want to teach through Parks and Rec because you advertise and help promote these classes and bring people into my classes. So it's, you know, sort of a double value that way.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear. Hi, Rebecca.
Okay. And Reese?
So I'm a big fan of the play guide, and Rogue to Go is pretty excited because we have our first ad in the play guide. So that just feels really good to be able to talk about this program through the play guide. While you were talking, Drenda, I just thought, like, under the partnership part, I thought, you know, SOU should be a partner. And I wonder why they, like, if it's a cost thing, or, you know, I don't really know, I just wrote down I love how you stretch the dollar with the partner, the trade thing. That is just brilliant. I mean, it makes so much sense. And there were some entities that weren't there that I'm just curious about. You don't need to answer, but just to hear. SOU was one, ScienceWorks was the other. You know, and some of the entities, of course, they're not going to have money, but they could probably benefit from trading something. And I was curious about the sneak preview, but, you know, it can be a challenging medium. But, you know, just the fact that it is one of 3 magazines, or, you know, that reaches every household in town. And then the other is like the YMCA, and then and the co-op, because, you know, pre-COVID, the co-op would have some classes or, you know, something, or maybe they want to promote some kind of sustainability thing, and they might just have the resources to just throw money for an ad. And then the racket club, the tennis club that you all partner with for whatever that Owls, Big Owls tennis thing, you know, I would think that event could be good for at least one ad a year from them. And then just for straight retail, like the Northwest Nature Shop, that just seems like, you know, sometimes they do the $5 off. Anyway, that I'm just throwing stuff.
This is a follow-up question to that, and Dorinda, you may have already said this, but these partnerships sort of come together mutually, or do you all, as the marketing and promotions team, reach out and say, "Hey, wouldn't it be great if we knew when SOU games are happening, and they wanted to, you know?" Okay, so you reach out actively. You pick people that would be partners. Okay, so cool. Yeah, those are great suggestions, Risa.
Yeah. So we reach out actively, and something that we started to do in 2017, and we've just been slowly building on it. And Risa, I think you had some great suggestions. Two that you mentioned here, I want to talk about SOU and ScienceWorks. They're actually paid advertisers this time around, but that's not to say that we won't eventually get with them. I found that these things take time, and it might take a few exchanges before we actually reach an agreement, but it's something that we'll keep pursuing. And then I wanted to mention the YMCA. They're already a community partner, so we're already trading advertising. And I like the idea to reach out to the sneak preview and the co-op. And the tennis club, I'm not sure. Lonnie might have to address that. I'm not quite sure what is going on with the Big Owls tennis tournament this summer. So,
Leslie, did you have
I was just gonna, Risa's thinking of her corner of the world. I don't know if Ashland Soccer Club would be a good one. And the other one that came to mind is Ashland Devo. These are sort of big in our world.
Mm-hmm. Those are great suggestions. Yes, we do have partnerships with both the Ashland Soccer Club and Devo, but it's not partnerships for the program guide, but it's other partnerships. And so that's definitely a good idea to reach out to them as well. Lonnie, were you going to say something?
I was going to respond about the Tennis and Fitness Club, which has, we've had memorandums of understanding situated with them before. The ownership or the management turnover there, and a handful of the other agencies kind of mess up the arrangements that we have. I want to say just about every entity that was named, I feel like we have approached them. We just don't have a 100% yes response every time, but we continue to work, through networks, I found more success working through one partner into another partner. It's kind of how those things end up developing. We are slowly working with Southern Oregon University in a number of different departments, OLLI being one that regularly uses our building and that we work with them closely, and also the Student Rec Center. So we have some arrangements there that aren't right out in front in the program guide, but like the rec center, we have agreements that possibly when smoke hits, some outdoor activities may be able to move inside. That's something that we've been working on with them and other field use. So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
And some other possible, they're probably too small for placing ads, but there are four sort of movement spaces over there on Hersey. The Dance Works, the Dance Space, Levity, which does adult circus, and then Sonia Smith Place. Name's not hitting me right now, but she has circus for kids. So there are four spaces over there on Hersey that might be interested in doing some advertising.
Is that just Aerial Arts?
Aerial Arts, that's it, yeah.
Thank you for that, Corey.
Yeah, there's so many cool things to do. It would be epic if the play guide had all of it, like, oh, here's a concert. And I mean, that would be, that mm-hmm. would be quite, it would get quite large at that point. Mm-hmm. But the sort of, the more opportunities in there, I just think the more value the play guide is, because I love it too. I definitely, it's on my kitchen counter right now, and already every member of the family has already paged through it. But it'd be pretty fun to have a little more schedules on the side, like outdoor movie schedules and things like that, that I can start putting on my calendar, because I love planning to do stuff through the summer, especially.
Risa?
Well, you know, one of the things about the play guide, like in this group that, you know, RDAC, you know, that, you know, one of the discussions that we have had over the time that we've been together is a desire for parks to be able to support, advocate, advertise for activities that go beyond what parks is actually doing. And the play guide is the deal. I mean, it is, it's manifesting, you know, the idea that we've been talking about. And so it's just, I mean, we're going in the right direction. And, you know, thanks to the good work that you've done over the years, Drinda, to build it, you know, we're getting closer to that ideal.
And I think you're spot on in the way you're talking about how people use it as a out there on the coffee table, especially if you've got the ice rink schedule on there or the swimming schedule on there, then it's, you know, it's a go-to. Even though people can look that stuff up on the computer somewhere, somehow having that stuff on paper is just really important. And especially, you know, my clientele, a lot of them are 60 to 80 years old. You know, they don't do the computer stuff, but if it comes in the mail, they look at it and they see it and they sign up. So I think that paper is really important.
I know that the, you know, talking with Superintendent Glatt over at the Senior Center, I know that, you know, she echoes that as far as the population that they work with over there, the more vulnerable population, and they really appreciate getting that printed guide as well. So.
And I love it that it's not glossy, you know, just, you know, could blow your nose if you were in a pinch.
Kindling. Necessary in the winter.
we do try really hard to save money wherever we can.
I do. So along those lines, I guess maybe we don't know. We might not have these sort of things, but so the one that just came out would be for the summer. And I think part, as I was looking through it, I was sort of excited, like, what's going on for First Fridays? Are there going to be movies in the park? And maybe we just don't have that schedule, but again, that would have been, you know, you get that schedule, it's springtime, you're getting excited for nice weather, green show, all mm-hmm. this stuff. And so it would be really cool to, yeah, on the sides have like, here's the First Fridays themes or things like that you, because I always forget First Friday. I always forget like a lot of the fun things that are happening when the weather starts getting nice and a lot of things are going on. So wonderful to have in there if it's possible.
And yeah. I know there's an effort to save money. So, you know, make it smaller. And I think that it is showing to be pretty effective, even though the listing, you know, I used to have a big old picture of my dance class, whatever, even just having the very brief in there. Here's the class. Here's when it is. That does it. You know, people scan down there like they're looking at a college catalog or a course catalog. Oh, cool. I didn't know there was French or whatever. I think just even having the name in there, if you have to cut space, is effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
can I squeeze a comment in?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Val.
Sorry. Okay. First of all, Dorinda, all the partnerships and the way that it extends the value of the marketing budget is just outstanding. So really big kudos to that. I just wanted to put forward a thought that has come up in an earlier committee meeting about the frequency of the play guide, and that 4 months, you know, time span is long, and it creates, I think, a very early deadline for some of the things that people would like to see listed. And I just wonder, I mean, not to, you know, I know this would create more work, but if it might be possible to have even just like a one-page supplement, you know, coming in between those 4 month cycles that could maybe carry some of this additional content as a way to expand it, and also maybe a way to address the what some people have shared is a hurdle for them, which is knowing what they're going to do, you know, 6 months ahead of time and knowing exactly when, where, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear what you're saying and I understand it. I think the challenge would be to find the money in our budget to do so.
Right.
You know, I can't quote right now what the printing cost would be to do one page, but I can tell you postage to send that out to all Ashland households would be about $2,300.
Mm-hmm.
So that in between each guide, that would be what, close to $7,000 we'd be adding to the budget each year. And I just, we don't have that right now.
Yeah, but
right.
You know, it's a good suggestion. And I know that, you know, behind the scenes in our marketing meetings, we do talk about, we have had that same conversation, Val. And
okay.
I think that there are opportunities for, you know, maybe down the road we can find somebody who wants to sponsor our like a one pager that would pay for the printing costs and the mailing
costs.
Exactly. So it's definitely not outside the realm of possibility. So it was a good suggestion.
But I love the suggestions on the additional content, and just personally, I would love to see OSU games SOU games listed. That would get me to some of them, you know, just having it be that convenient.
Risa, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I understand why it's very costly to do a one pager in between. Would it make sense? I mean, I wouldn't utilize it because I'm not going to go online. But for those people that like do that, could that information be like just online information? I'm asking the question, would there be a value to parks to address it or test drive it? Just online.
You could send out a PDF to your email list. So is that part of what goes out in the email, is announcements like that?
Yes. Yeah. So first, the promotional email that went out for the play guide not only talks about the play guide and has the link to register, but then we also talk about what's coming up, like bike swaps and bird day and nature play celebration. So, you know, we could definitely do a big promotion in between each guide and just push people to the website for more information. That we could definitely do that, and that wouldn't take a lot of time, and it wouldn't cost anything.
I also, I like to play devil's advocate a little bit here. I find, as someone who does a lot of scheduling for the Evergreen Ballroom, that the people who are really with it and organized and put together good things, they know their schedule well in advance. And so, you know, a lot of the people that you really want to have as part of your program are organized enough to get that information together. Yeah, Libby?
And just to kind of tie in off of that, Corey, I like what you're saying about people who do know their schedules far in advance. Another thing that would make it challenging to offer intermediate releases of promotion is that each time we put together a guide or even a smaller set of programming that's going to be released and announced, there's a huge checklist, a surprisingly long Excel spreadsheet checklist of things that need to get confirmed to put something on the calendar, market it, release it, get it up in ActiveNet, make registration happen. and you know, reserve the facilities for it and all those little bits. And so because of the way that the current play guide goes in those three main waves, there's pretty much a nonstop, I would say it's about nonstop procedure where you're going through all of the planning to advertise for the programming, set the programming up, work out the descriptions, get the marketing together, put the flyers together, get it up. And so it's another reason that it could be a little challenging in terms of workload, because there are some things that would just have to happen regardless of whether it was a guide release or a single page PDF that was, you know, coming out in the middle of a season. There's just the admin.
Hey, Libby. Mm-hmm. Would that be mitigated at all if the intermediate releases were basically just for partner activities, you know, things that partners were or other community entities were producing and hosting, and it's really just an information share?
That makes a lot of sense, actually, because the thing that requires the most of the admin that I'm talking about, that checklist is about APRC offered programs where we are marketing, registration, and, you know, admin. But if you're just releasing information about the upcoming Green Show and the First Fridays, and they provided that content, then it's not about the booking.
Right. Right.
That's a really great suggestion.
So forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leslie.
It's not about the play guide, so I don't know. Should we stick on that topic, or?
I'm wondering. We're running pretty far into our time here. Do we want to wrap this topic up and get moving on?
Sure.
It's been very useful. Thank you, Dorinda, for joining in.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Thank Dorinda.
Thanks, Dorinda.
Bye, everyone.
I did have a quick comment about social media. I don't know if
she's still. Oh, shoot.
That's okay.
I'll just say it would take 2 seconds. Is that, you know, this is potentially problematic, but I've always thought the Ashland Parks and Rec Instagram page is a little stiff. It's a little boring. It kind of only gives you the important information that you need to know. And I think it'd be fun, but I know you can always get in trouble with social media, so I'm hesitant to say it. But gosh, it would be fun if there were just more pictures coming in of people enjoying the parks. Like, here's a kid doing a skateboard trick, like at the skate park. And there's someone having a wonderful picnic. And I just think it would be fun to get more beautiful, interesting kind of content about the community enjoying parks. And I know that's more work. And then there's always like the possibility of social faux pas when you start trying to get creative and fun with Instagram. But I personally, like, I'm like, Parks and Rec, like, advertising and social media is pretty, like, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll bring it up. I know we talked a lot about it at our marketing team meetings, too, so I can bring that up again, too. I know when we push something to Facebook, it also pushes to Instagram as well. But, yeah, those captivating pictures of people using our parks and our facilities are how we're going to get people to enjoy the programs and services. So
we want to keep moving on here a little bit. Maybe can we move on to Rachel, you wanted to talk about the recruitment of new members. Can we move on to that?
Yep, we can. And let me tell you that we just recently did another, it's been posted on the website. We just recently did another round of press releases on our DAC. We have not gotten any bites on interested parties to apply to be on our DAC. So if you'd like me to forward you out the press release so you can forward it on to your friends and neighbors, I'm happy to do that. But that's kind of where we're at right now on the recruitment.
Risa?
Could you please refresh my memory? Can a high school student join us?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because that seems like an untapped population. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to forward out the press release again with the application to you all. And then if you can forward it out to anybody you have contacts with, that would be great. And we're definitely looking for at least a couple more members. So, okay.
Our next topic then is staffing.
Yeah, and I just wanted to quickly, before I turn it over to Lonnie and Libby to give some updates, I just wanted to give you all a little bit of information, just in case you haven't heard, that the City of Ashland is looking at some planned general fund revenue reductions to all departments. And we are obviously APRC, you know, in this next fiscal year. So coming up, starting July 1st. We've been told to plan for a 5% and up to 10% loss in general fund revenue. And so we are looking at a reduction of anywhere between $175,000 to up to $350,000. Director Black has proposed some budget cuts, and he has submitted that to the city manager, Joe Lessard. And, you know, the 5% scenario is obviously easier to swallow, and that will affect, you know, materials and services, our fleet replacement, and some portion of that would also be gained from reorganizing some positions. So looking at combining positions in somewhere within the department. The 10% cut really would be harder. Those cuts that I talked about would also, along with the cuts that I already talked about, a small portion, there could be a reduction of a small portion of permanent staffing, which equals a layoff, and probably some cuts to temp employees across the board. We don't know what the actual percentage is gonna be. The Parks Commission did talk about it at their meeting last week. It's all happening really quickly. And so my understanding is the next step is that department directors sent their scenarios to the city manager, and during the next month to month and a half, I think there'll be some proposals probably coming to city council. So I just wanted to make sure you all are aware of that. And Risa.
Isn't it true, Rachel, that right around COVID, Parks had some serious budget reductions already?
We did reduce staffing right after COVID hit. We reduced down our, I can't remember the exact number, but we laid off 3 office assistants, so 2 at the Grove and 1 at the Nature Center, as well as, I believe, 3, the equivalent of 3 more in Parks as well. So it was 6 total. And we've backfilled a little bit with, we've been able to bring back or, you know, move people around a little bit to help offset that, but we have not gained those positions back. So
that's what I thought. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a bite and a bite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard time. You know, it's not just, it's hard times for everyone. It's hard times for all other city departments, you know, other, you know, school districts and things. I mean, we're all cutting back and trying to figure out how to make things work. And I just wanted to make sure you all knew, you know, going into our next, you know, talking about Rec Division and what our plans are for summer, you know, that those things do play into it.
And part of what's on the potential chopping block is Pioneer Hall. Is that correct?
You know, no, at this time, you know, if we have to cut back on materials and services, Director Black would come back to us and say, okay, I need to cut this much in each of the divisions. And then we would have to kind of figure out how to make that work. Pioneer Hall, there is a chance. I mean, we pay around $20,000 to $25,000 a year for Pioneer Hall. And that includes cleaning the building and supplying the building. So I think that we would look at that, but I can't say for sure, you know, what would happen. But that is, you know, I think there's lots of things that could be on the table. So, yeah. Okay. Let me go back to my
other staffing, the pool.
Lonnie, do you want to talk about how things are going with pool hiring briefly?
Sure. I'll come back on video. If it's unstable, just interrupt me and I'll turn it off. I didn't want to deny you the opportunity to see me though.
I'll consider it.
Tomorrow we're going to be interviewing two out of two applicants for the pool manager position that we're trying to get filled. And we're a little bit late in the game, but we will hopefully have some results by the end of the month. We are also announcing and recruiting, as Rachel had mentioned before, or Dorinda had mentioned before as well, for lifeguards and swim instructors. That has been challenging. As of yesterday, I was informed we had one application, and there had been a number of clicks on it based on the information that I was given. However, no applications. That is also combined with, we have one swim instructor, four other lifeguards planning to return to the pool with a hodgepodge of availability issues, you know, whether it's vacations, teams, sports, summer camps, other scheduling issues that we need to be flexible with. So that's the situation with the pool, which has caused me to hesitate to advertise any type of schedule, because we simply cannot open the pool without lifeguards on the stand. And I'm gonna say with a certain percentage of confidence that we'll open the pool somehow. I just don't know what it's gonna look like right now. So that is the pool update.
Yeah. And then the golf course?
So I think Reese has one quick question. Go ahead, Reese.
Thanks. Lonnie, I was just wondering if you ever get any traction from reaching out directly to existing pools, you know, like the Y, and there's a few pools in Medford that utilize lifeguards.
Sure. Yeah. So I work closely with Medford Parks and Rec, the person in charge there. We've been communicating a lot. The YMCA, I just spoke with Chad the other day, and I was actually up in Eugene over the weekend with a friend who works for Willamette Lane, which is a large district for parks and recreation in the Springfield area. They have closed their main pool, Splash, because they cannot find lifeguards. This is a nationwide
problem. Right. Yeah.
It's in all the NRPA publications, so it's not unique to us. I am talking with the other pools in the area about ways that we can, you know, share staff resources. One of the issues that we face, we don't have the budget capacity to hire full-time seasonal staff as lifeguards. Whereas Medford Parks and Recreation offers lifeguards 40 hours a week. So that's kind of a challenge. And when you add in the fact that there are so few pools in our area and that aquatics is just really underserved in our area, there are not a lot of people being exposed to aquatics early in their life to later on realizing that that is an employment option for them in their school and college. Yeah. So, like Dorinda said, I was at the university yesterday, pitching to everyone who would even glance at me, the opportunity to come to lifeguard. You know, I've been pitching that they are paid It's paid time to train and certify. So all the training and certification classes that they need to have, we're paying them a wage to do that, which in the past, many kids would have to pay, you know, a couple, $200, $300 to go through a lifeguard course. But we're gonna pay that. We're gonna pay that cost and do what we can to get them in.
Can you pitch that at the master swimmers and see if you can get any of them on board?
Oh yeah, I have. I've got a whole contact list of all the aquatics people that I can reach out to and yeah.
All right, and can we move on to the golf course then? How's that
going? Yeah, so I just wanted to update. We had to shuffle some staff around. Golf course manager Patrick Orpolo did resign. His last day was March 31st, so we had to move an employee that we've had working in the front office who used to work at the golf course. We had to move her back out to the golf course to help cover. So we were able to backfill with a former part-time employee who is working in our front office now, who has had experience working in our front office before. So the good thing is it wasn't a big training hiccup for us, but we are limited on front office right now. We still are just open Monday, Wednesday, Friday for walk-ins 9 to 1, and we're doing our best to keep up with registrations and facility rentals and things like that. So that's kind of where we're at with staffing right now.
Can I just say really fast how sorry I am how much harder your jobs are. I'm just really sorry that it is the way that it is and it's not right.
Yeah, it is hard. But I think one of the things that we've all, you know, I think across parks and recreation, we're all just trying to help each other as much as we can, you know, and, you know, we're all answering phones, you know, I know Libby at the Nature Center and Jen at the Nature Center are opening their front doors to volunteers and, you know, trying to offer service learning and taking their cell phones out in the park during to answer phones. And so we're all, you know, we're doing what we can because we know how important what we do is to our community. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's the staffing update.
All right. So then, thank you. Then events update, bike swap.
Yeah, so we have some events coming up. The bike swap is next weekend on Saturday, April 30th from 12 to 2:30 at the Grove. It's actually going to be in the Public Works parking lot, but you can enter through the Grove parking lot. We have a really good partnership with Rogue Valley Transportation District, as well as with Get in Gear. And Suleiman Shelton, who's our volunteer and event coordinator, is working hard. It sounds like most of our volunteer positions are filled at this point. And so it's just a matter of getting ready for the actual swap and the day of. RVTD did also, we expanded our partnership with them, and we're actually doing, RVTD actually is coordinating this piece, which I think is really cool. They're actually picking up people in Medford who want to sell a bike. Actually, they're going to have a drop-off location in Medford on Friday night for people who want to bring, to potentially want to sell bikes, and that's never happened before, and I think that's a really cool feature of the swap this year. So,
nice.
Yeah.
And you also got some extra funding for that, or someone else,
one of the things that happened, the partnership we have with Get in Gear, one of the things that we used to do on our end is we actually had to take care of all the financial piece. So we'd bring, you know, we'd have people who actually sold their bikes to swap between Parks and Recreation and the finance department. We would issue them checks for a percentage of what they sold. Well, now we don't have to do that piece because Get in Gear has this whole consignment system with their, you know, computer system. And so they're bringing all of that. We worked out all the details. So all of the money is actually running through Get in Gear. And then the portion, the 20% that goes to bicycle safety education they will write us a check for after the swap is over. So we'll settle all the finances. The 20% will go into the Parks Foundation for future bicycle safety education programs. So yeah, it's a really great.
So cool.
Yeah. And it's saving us like, I mean, literally it was like, I think what we've paid out to sellers was around between $18,000 and $20,000, depending on how much equipment we actually went through the swap. So it's a really good partnership and cuts down on our expenses.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, then on to Nature Play. Libby? Yep.
Awesome. We have a public event coming up next month, May 11th, which is a Wednesday after school gets out. We're going to have a party to celebrate the Nature Play area, which is really exciting for me because it was a little over 4 years of work to build the Nature Playground here at North Mountain Park. And then it seems like a week after we opened the gates, we went into COVID lockdown. So there was no celebration. So we're inviting the donors and we're inviting the community to celebrate this beautiful space that we have that people have been enjoying quietly for the last couple of years. So it's going to be a lovely event. We have special guest Genuine the Purple Unicorn, and we have Firefly Face Painting, and Jackson County Library Services Children's Division will have a table with nature crafts. And I'll just say a few words to thank the people who have contributed. That project was a huge success, completed within budget, thanks to over $280,000 of grants, donations, and in-kind contributions. So we feel like we should say something about that. And Jim, if you'd like to speak either before or after me, that would be lovely. Please tell your friends and bring your kids. We'll have a lovely time. There'll be cupcakes and lemonade, and we'll be there from 3 to 5. And of course, you can play in the playground until it gets dark.
I really hope that you all can at least stop by quickly and say hi. It really is. If you haven't seen it up close and in person, it's an amazing nature playground, and really it came from Libby Van Wye and her amazing spirit and grant writing expertise. So
it's a really sweet space. It really is,
and it's functioning exactly the way I promised it would when I wrote all those grant applications, and it was just a concept, but the higher level thinking and the confidence building and the collaborative problem solving and the creativity that actually you can see happening on the ground with natural materials in a way that doesn't impact the park, which is huge, because it's a sanctioned play space that allows for that kind of hands-on developmentally appropriate learning that doesn't disturb, doesn't cause sedimentation in the ponds and doesn't disturb the nesting habitat. So it's a really big success.
Yay. And then did Jim want to say something, or are we talking about Bird Day was next on our list?
Oh, I'm going to speak at the event. I think I'll speak after Libby, actually, so that works.
Right.
Perfect. And that's for the Nature Play Area celebration. So it'll be nice to have Jim there. And then do you want me to explain a little bit about Rogue Valley Bird Day?
Bird Day.
Okay, so only a couple of days after we have the Nature Play celebration, that weekend, we're going to have a return of Rogue Valley Bird Day, one of our favorite sweet events that we do here at North Mountain Park. We've done it annually for many years, but it's been on hiatus during COVID. So we're bringing back all of our dedicated birding volunteers, lots of ornithologists who contribute programming and ongoing monthly monitoring here at North Mountain Park, all get together to lead bird walks and table and facilitate games and activities. We've brought in partners like Klamath Bird Observatory doing their banding station. We have wildlife images with live birds. And Jen has been doing lots of work to improve the offerings for kids. So there's going to be some really fun kids activities that are kind of modeled after a junior ranger type of engagement activity that tours people around the park. And she's got signs that are going to share bird conservation information on the trails throughout the park. It should be really fun. Join us at 8 a.m. On, I think it's the 14th. Let me make sure of that.
It's a Saturday.
Yep, the Saturday. And there'll be bird walks throughout the morning, and then it'll wrap up with a calling contest at the end.
Wonderful. And then we've got the AWMF.
Ashland World Music Festival. Lonnie, that's you.
Yes. sorry. I'm going to share my screen here and would just want to direct everyone to the rogueworldmusic.org and AWMF, add that in there. It takes you to the Ashland World Music Festival. This is a schedule of events, so I wanted to share this real quickly with everyone. This will be happening over Memorial Day weekend. And I also just, again, want to shout out, as we've been talking about partnerships, this has been a very, very successful partnership for Parks and Recreation and for Rogue World Music as well, to develop this festival. So through the weekend, through Monday, there will be a sound walk, which was successful over the holiday season. There was a sound walk through downtown. And then I believe the term is the anchoring artist, Okaija Afroso, will be leading a percussion workshop. That will be at the Southern Oregon University Music Building. Another popular event is Heartbeat Stories. So this is just an intimate setting where people share their experiences and their stories about their home. And so it's centered around, you know, culture and experiences, and it's very authentic. And then we're happy that we get to announce that we will return to in-person live performances at the Butler Bandshell in Lithia Park on Sunday, May 29th from noon to 5 p.m. And all these events are free. And I'm gonna back up or go to the next page because it's because of the great sponsorships that I will give a shout out to Anna Byers, Sophia Blanton with Rogue World Music, and also Val Rogers here. Of all the great support that we're getting to put on this event and keep it free to the community, it's I think 6, 7, maybe even 8 years of since kind of the planning idea occurred, and we continue moving forward to have this great festival for the Ashland community that brings authentic culture and music here so that everybody can, you know, get together and celebrate and enjoy it. And boy, do we need it after the last couple of years. So we're just really excited about it. Feel free to pass on the web address and take a look and please show up.
Thank you, Lonnie.
Show up and bring friends and family. You know, it's going to be a chance to actually play together in the park on Sunday. And we hope it's really, really festive.
Thank you. And then I think we're back to Libby for service learning programs at the Nature Center.
Sure. I'll be happy to give an update about that. We have brought back service learning field trips this spring to North Mountain Park. These are offered to third through 12th grade students, and we offer 2 days of service learning programming a week. So we offer a birding activity, which is aligned to the Next Generation Science Standards on Tuesdays. And on Fridays, we offer an environmental art activity, which engages students in creating ephemeral art with natural materials. So in addition to those service those educational pieces, they do a complimentary service project. And the students for the last few weeks have been doing amazing work controlling blackberries that I know were in zones that were of particular concern because of their proximity to trails and buildings. And so we have really, just with the help of these really engaged classes of students, pushed those blackberries back and dug out the root balls. And we've covered a lot of ground, and we've created a huge pile of debris that needs to be carted away. So it's been really successful in terms of restoration. The kids have a great time. And so do the volunteers. We have 11 volunteers working to teach those programs. And our AmeriCorps service member, Michaela, is helping to lead that. And she's taken, she's really gaining confidence and has taken a leadership role in leading those volunteers on Tuesdays and Fridays. When we get to the end of the season, we've done a quick count. We estimate we will have served about 450 students, between 400 and 450 students by the end of the spring.
Fantastic.
So we're really happy about that.
Fantastic. How do people sign up for that program?
The 10 ring circus that we used to have that involved, advanced registration through ActiveNet, became too unwieldy without an admin support staff. So basically, Michaela emailed my list of interested folks, and there are so many teachers who love these programs. So we have a list of teachers who really care deeply about taking field trips at North Mountain Park. And Michaela said, hey, let me know if you're interested. We have a Google form, capture some of your class details. And within 2 hours after she sent that email out, we had booked every single program and we had a waiting list.
Wow.
And so there wasn't really any advance notice. What I used to do was to go to the schools and leave postcards in every teacher's box so that they would know when registration opened at 8 a.m. It was like, at 8 a.m. every teacher in all of the neighboring districts was like glued to the computer to hack the website to get their registration. And this time it was just, hey, you want to sign up? Here's a Google form. Boom, they were in there. 2 hours later, we were full. So they're chomping at the bit for additional programming, which is why I was also trying to support what Southern Oregon Land Conservancy is offering out at Wilson Pod Woods on park property. They're doing the Loving the Land program out there, which is introducing the Ordson Todd Woods to upper elementary students. So I'm connecting with them to see if there are ways that I can partner and support what they're doing, because it just seems like a natural fit. It's environmental ed on parks property with a slightly different format. So I'm learning from the way Southern Oregon Land Conservancy is doing it and looking for ways to partner in the future.
And is there more to be said on the youth conservation program?
I was just going to mention that Sue Monchell Center, volunteer and event coordinator, does a youth conservation core program every year. And this year it's 1 week in June. I feel like it's 1 week in June and 1 week in July. And he's working actually with Michaela, who's our AmeriCorps at the Nature Center. And the program is already full. So, and the students that are enrolled in that program have to apply, and it's basically they get a certain amount of community service hours that go towards their I think it's high school, some kind of community service for high school. So the program is full. I think we have 10 students in each of the classes, so 20 youth total, and we're really excited about it. So. And they spend all week outdoors, and they work in targeted areas like at North Mountain Park in the natural area. They work in Lithia, up in like on the trail. So they spend different days in different parks. And that's all. That's all I have to say.
Wonderful. All right. So then we've got our working group update. I don't know if Libby or Risa. Want to talk about that?
Yeah, Lydia is going to share her screen
sure.
And pull up the spreadsheet.
Let me do that. Hold on a second. There it is. So here's the spreadsheet where we have been organizing our notes in all of our conversations that we have with different potential organizations and groups that we want to connect with. So here's our list of 44 different groups on the left. And as we go along and make contact with a contact person in this column, people are filling this out. So I haven't personally walked through this spreadsheet lately, but I can see that there have been some updates.
I know Risa had one update. Risa, I just entered this the other day, and it was for the Conservation and Climate Outreach Commission. Do you want to briefly talk about that one?
Sure. Yeah, I met with the chair, Marnie Koopman, and you can just see, you know, historically that commission has had an ongoing relationship with parks over the decades. And so it wasn't a new concept to them. I say them because I just retired after 100 years on that commission. But I mean, I don't need to read what you all can read, but I would just say that they're very open to rekindling the relationship partnership. Libby had come to a commission meeting a month or so prior just to, you know, let them know, because historically not everyone knows of the long relationship the commission has had with parks. And the short answer is yes, the commission is very interested in being part of a listening, you know, some kind of a listening group. And also possibly one thing that struck me that Marnie said is that, you know, if Libby or someone at Parks has a clear idea about what Parks would like from this commission, like, hey, we would love it if you would do a class on rainwater catchment or organize it or, you know, something like that, they would love that. So, you know, I definitely would say that group is a thumbs up.
I think one of the best possibilities for that is offering programming to the public that we can market and advertise for you. So if there are particular things that you want people to know about that the Conservation and Climate Outreach Commission wants to teach the public or wants to share with the public, we would love to be a hub for that. Mm-hmm. And if we can garner some themed programming on the subject of climate change resiliency and pound that into a week of learning with a few different instructors, that would be incredibly cool.
I would suggest you let them know exactly what you said, just either in a memo, but maybe more powerfully come and talk for 5 minutes at a future meeting and say, we would love X. You all don't have to necessarily do all of it, but I bet you can put your heads together and teach some of it and reach out to other groups and come up with that week.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Lonnie has his hand up.
Yeah, I just didn't want to disrupt the conversation, but I did have an update on a new developing partnership that I wanted to mention just real quick. I haven't had time to put it in the spreadsheet. I know we're running short on time, so I'll make it really brief. It's with FACT Oregon and Bridging Communities here locally. We are in discussions about an event in September called Try for Youth, and it is a triathlon event. However, this one for this year will probably just be running and biking, and it's designed for families with special needs children. So I just wanted to make mention of that. I hope to have more updates. I've also, thanks to Rebecca, guiding me along, was able to just kind of introduce myself to the Ashland School District Special Education group to also start discussing different ways for Parks and Rec to provide adapted services, inclusive services, and so there's just wanted to add that quick update.
Thank you. All right, any more to be said on that or any other topics we want to put in there? Yeah, Libby?
All I will add is that we can continue chipping away at this list. And for those of you who don't have the Google document, there is a link to it in the chat. That Excel sheet has all of the people we brainstormed that we wanted to connect to. And when you do, you can get into that shared document and make notes if you would like.
And if you can't get in the shared document, you can always email one of us and we can get it entered for you. So no problem.
Yes, thank you for that. And I'll just say publicly, it will be my goal to not do another interview between now and our next meeting. I just had to say it because then maybe it will help do it.
I've got one to enter.
Oh, good. You do? Okay. Great. Yeah, just email me or you can enter it yourself. However you want to do it.
I got the link off of it. I'll put it in there.
Great. That's great.
Okay. And so anything else we want to talk about?
I'll just mention really quickly that I have been talking with Kevin Calkins from the Boy Scouts, who they actually, their main home is Pioneer Hall. And we're planning now that COVID is over for now. Sounds like they're going to try to do a spruce up of the building inside. And so I'm trying to connect the dots with the city, with the facilities. The city is going to buy the paint, and the Boy Scouts, and their leads are going to repaint the inside of the building as well as, you know, fix up the baseboards, put in new electric, you know, the little plugs in. So that's going to be really good. And we're trying to hoping that we can get it done before summer, before we start getting busier in there. And I think that's their goal as well. So that's just something really positive that's going to be happening soon.
Wonderful. We are done with our topic. Do we want to try to pick a date for our next meeting?
So I was going to say, I'm just going to throw it out there since we're on the third Thursday. Our next meeting would be in June, and it would be June 16th, which is a Thursday.
I'm gone that week.
Okay.
I can do that.
You can do that? What about others?
I think I can do it.
Okay.
I think I can do it as well.
Okay. Risa, are you okay if we meet? Risa, are you okay missing that one?
You know, it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to make it through.
Okay. Did you say June 16th?
Yeah, it would be June 16th. That's the third. Is that the third Thursday of June?
Yeah. Of June. Correct.
And it would be 4 p.m. And then I'm just going to mention this, and we don't have to talk about it now if we don't have time. But now that there are subcommittees that are meeting in person, we do have the option to meet in person if we want, or pick a later meeting. I know that, you know, when we get into summer, people start traveling, so it might be easier to meet on Zoom in June, and maybe we can meet in August in person and try an in-person meeting. We're fine either way, however the committee wants to go.
Very likely I'll be away. It might be in Ashland, but it's more likely that I'll be out on the coast June 16th. So I would prefer Zoom.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, we will go for that then for the next meeting. But again, if we want to try, I know some of us haven't even met in person before. So if we want to try to do an in-person meeting later this summer, I think that would be fun. And it would be fun. So So I'll just leave.
A hybrid format might be nice, so that those that could meet in person can do so, but anybody who needs to Zoom in could also do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to consider if we can figure out how to do that. I don't know if that's a possibility in the Audie Peterson room, Lonnie, at all, but maybe it's something we can look into down the road. So
here at North Mountain Park, we've been able to do hybrid community programs. We did our first the other day, and we were able to project the speaker while a few people were in the room watching and a few people were on Zoom, so they could participate simultaneously. The difficulty with a meeting like this would be swiveling the camera to get the whole meeting room when people are in around a table in person. Because the way I did the hybrid programming is it was just pointed at the main speaker. And for this, I'm not sure if the Audie Peterson room has a camera that could be like pulled back far enough so that we wouldn't be able to see everyone. Mm-hmm. So that makes it harder in a collaborative space.
Well, I know that the city council is still working out their hybrid model too. So, I mean, if they ever work their hybrid model out, maybe there's a possibility of us actually have maybe meeting in council chambers once, if it's available for a hybrid. But for now, we'll just move forward for June with Zoom. And then if there's a hybrid option, we can let you know. Does that sound reasonable? Well,
actually, if everybody has a phone or a computer that they could bring to the Grove, then you just sit your computer in front of you and then everybody's still on there, even if some of us are still in the same room with each other.
Oh, that's a good idea too.
As long as the internet can handle that kind of traffic, then we'd be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that would work. Or even just phoning in, that still works.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll get things coordinated and we'll let you know for June, okay?
Great. Are we ready to wrap up then? We done?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Thank you, everybody.
All right, have a good night. Good to see you all.
Y'all take care.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
Till next time. Bye-bye.